This is Generation Justice, a multiracial project that trains youth to harness the power of community through media, narrative, and critical consciousness. I'm Barbara Ramirez. We want to remind you that this program broadcasts from the rightful lands of the Tiwa people. Last month, the State Central Committee, SCC, of the Democratic Party of New Mexico, also known as DPNM, adopted a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire to end the violence in Gaza and a pause of all U.S. military aid to Israel by a vote of 527-185. This is a tremendous effort that started in October of last year. The ceasefire resolution also calls for the release of Israeli hostages and Palestinian political prisoners and backs humanitarian aid to Gaza. On March 25th, there was a press conference at the Civic Plaza here in Albuquerque, where members of the State Central Committee of the New Mexico Democratic Party, Jewish Voice for Peace, the New Mexico Legislature, and other groups discussed why they support a ceasefire in Gaza and presented their message to the New Mexico Congressional Delegation and the Biden administration. This evening on Generation Justice, we bring you the recording from that press conference. The press conference is around 50 minutes and it will be presented in two parts this evening. The first voice you will hear is that of human rights activist Sami Assad. She is a member of the State Central Committee of the Democratic Party of New Mexico and the lead organizer on the ceasefire resolution.
It is with great pleasure that I announce that New Mexico Democratic Party pre-primary state convention votes for a ceasefire in Gaza by an overwhelming majority. Monday, March 25th, members of the State Central Committee of New Mexico Democratic Party, Jewish Americans, Palestinian Americans, interfaith communities, and New Mexicans from the Crossroad Board came together, and the New Mexico legislature will have all agreed to support a ceasefire in Gaza. A majority of the New Mexico Democratic Party pre-primary state convention delegates, which include members of the party's State Central Committee, they're about a little over 500, call on the congressional delegation to demand that the Biden administration facilitate negotiations for a ceasefire to immediately end the violence and to ensure the delivery of adequate humanitarian assistance. I'm going to read the resolution, and then I want to talk a little about what we went through as the coordinating ceasefire committee of the Democratic Party. Whereas all human life is precious, and targeting civilians, no matter their faith or ethnicity, is a violation of international humanitarian law. Whereas between October 7th and October 6th, 2023, armed violence has claimed the lives of 6,747 Palestinians and 1,400 Israelis and wounded thousands more. Whereas hundreds of thousands of lives are at imminent risk if a ceasefire is not achieved and humanitarian aid is not delivered immediately. Whereas the federal government holds immense diplomatic power to save Israeli and Palestinian lives. Therefore, be it resolved that the Democratic Party of New Mexico, through its members and specifically through its congressional delegation, demand that the Biden administration call urgently for and facilitate negotiations for de-escalation and ceasefire to immediately end the current violence and immediately send and facilitate the delivery of adequate humanitarian assistance to include fuel, water, food, medical supplies, and medical personnel into Gaza so as to effectively and quickly alleviate the massive suffering there. And three, pause all military aid to Israel and call upon all allies of combatants to halt the shipment of weapons into the war zone. And four, secure the release of civilians being held hostage and political prisoners being detained, and allow for national freedoms of movement. It took more than 4 months to get the ceasefire resolution to a statewide DPNM vote after the initial state platform and resolutions committee vote in October 2023 due to a procedural objection. Ultimately, Democrats discussed the resolution through four public comment sessions, one town hall, an online comment page, and a vigorous debate at the pre-primary state convention, which lasted nearly 9 hours. On March 9th, the final vote was concluded on March 17th. myself, I have commented that 30,000 people have died in Gaza since we introduced the resolution. A majority of Democrats, 77%, and independents, 69%, support the U.S. calling for a permanent ceasefire. 800,000 children are starving. Enough is enough. It took this long for us to come out with a statement, but I just want to say thank you to all my fellow Democrats who supported and approved of this resolution. It meant a lot as a Palestinian American that I found support and reaffirmed my belief in the American people and what we stand for. We are the party. We are the grassroots element of the party. The Democratic Party must realize that we represent the vote, and our representatives must heed our voices and our asks and our demands and our warning coming for this vote in November. We recognize as Democrats that first, I just want to say, I will want to thank all Democratic Party officials and party members and all the volunteers and the staff that helped see through this, irrespective of all, on my personal level, a lot of anguish and pain. But what we'd like to see is for our congressional delegates who unfortunately voted for against supporting UNRWA, defunding UNRWA in the midst of an ethnic cleansing and genocide and the forced starvation of 2.2 million people, 1 million children. We've seen the atrocities and the devastation in Gaza, and we must call for an end. We were very disappointed on a personal level. I'm extremely disappointed with our federal delegation, our congressional members, and our senators who voted for it, House and Senate. They had no business because guess what? They didn't have the mandate from the people, as proven by the vote that just demanded for a ceasefire within the Democratic Party. They didn't have the mandate to make that vote. And they will have to answer to us. No more will they be not hold them accountable to what the people of the Democratic Party want. You will not answer them. We will not accept them answering to lobbyists before American voters. It's not going to happen. We see the vote with the Democratic Party SEC members and delegates. They reflect the majority of what Americans are saying. Cease fire now. And that includes opening the gates, end the starvation, end the genocide. They need to act on what people are telling them. And what we're afraid of as a Democratic Party, as we stand here united, many of my fellow SEC members, we're not here to disrupt the Democratic Party or to divide the Democratic Party. But what President Biden and our congressional delegates have done has pushed away many, many a Democrat away, many Americans, many of our youth, they don't believe in us anymore. This is why this vote is so important. It's reiterating, no, Democrats do believe in justice, do believe in humanity. We are the core of this party, and our elected officials have to reflect our wishes. They have to. So this is what I have to say today, and I want to give space for many of our speakers. We have our interfaith community, as well as some of our political leadership who are going to talk about what they bring to the table, and I don't want to take a lot of space. So please, I will start first with Archbishop Webster. Please come on up.
Thank you very much, Samia. I'm very grateful to you. I'd like to echo a statement that Cardinal McElroy of San Diego, California, and I came out with, which I think today is just as relevant as it was several weeks ago. The continuing war in Gaza that has killed over 32,000 men, women, and children and threatens to increase violence throughout the Middle East calls us as Americans to press for a national policy which is focused unswervingly on an immediate and total ceasefire. The massacre of more than 1,300 innocent Israelis, including children, and the abhorrent victimization of women on October 7th, stands as a shocking attack by Hamas upon the most basic principles of human dignity. It absolutely delegitimates any future role for Hamas in the Middle East, and then underscores the right of Israel to bring to justice all those who carried out this outrage. Moreover, the piercing moral claim of releasing the hostages should be a priority for the whole international community. The siege of Gaza has lasted for almost 5 months and has already resulted in the deaths of more than 32,000 people, most of them innocent civilians. This is more than 1% of the entire population of Gaza. Proportionately for the United States, this would represent approximately 3.7 million lives. In addition, the infrastructure, housing, and commerce of Gaza has been systemically destroyed by Israeli attacks, rendering much of the population homeless. A humanitarian catastrophe is unfolding in Gaza before the eyes of the world. In such a conflict, continuing such warfare is neither just nor tolerable. Yes, Hamas must be defeated, but not at the expense of innocent life. In addition, there is tremendous risk that the present war will produce major conflict in Lebanon, increase violence in the West Bank, and cause outbreaks throughout the Middle East. It is for these reasons that Pope Francis has called repeatedly in these days for an end to military action in the Holy Land. He said, and I quote, "I continue to follow the conflict in Israel and Palestine with much worry and pain. I renew my call for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. There is so much suffering there," end quote. Only such a ceasefire can end the humanitarian disaster in Gaza, stop the growing risk of expanded warfare in the Middle East, and maximize the chance of returning the hostages to their families. It is critical for us in the United States and here for us in New Mexico to support this call for an immediate ceasefire and to press for our government to make it the centerpiece of its foreign policy in the Middle East at this pivotal moment. Our country has a powerful voice on these issues. Let it echo Pope Francis's call amidst suffering on all sides. No to weapons, yes to peace. For this will be the only true pathway for justice in the land that so deeply reflects the presence of God. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. All right, submit. We want our representative, State Senator Linda Lopez, behind her.
Good morning, and thank you, Samia. Thank you, Archbishop. And thank you to my colleagues, Senator Pope, Representative Caballero, and all who are here today. The New Mexico State Senate also introduced a resolution for discussion in the New Mexico State Senate this past legislative session. Senator Pope and several of my colleagues also signed on to the measure, and it echoes the same words that Samia had just read with regards to the resolution that was presented in front of the State Central Committee meeting of the Democratic Party this past weekend. I too want to say thank you to those who voted in favor. We have to let our congressional delegation know what we want, what we demand, what we support. We also need to let know the president, our president of the United States, and his team, his leadership that is negotiating with what is happening in the Middle East at this point in time with Gaza. We had an opportunity during session to be in the rotunda and have heartfelt conversation, sharing of what is happening. Since session ended, at that point we were saying 22,000 had been killed. Now the number is at 32,000, and the numbers continue to rise. At that time, it was at 70,000+ who had been wounded. Now the numbers are over 74,000. We have over 2 million people who are being displaced. And yet, with the anticipation of what is to happen in Rafah, we need to stop this at this point in time now. A ceasefire is needed now, not tomorrow, not next month, but today. This morning, the Security Council of the UN voted to pass a resolution that demands an immediate Gaza ceasefire. Sadly, the United States voted no. is not something that should be happening. Yes, they abstained, but for me, what an abstention is, it's a no vote. I've been in the legislature too long, and I know when those abstentions come, I know exactly what that means. I ain't stupid. And I know the people of this country, the people who supported the resolution, my colleagues and others across this country and in the state of New Mexico, we understand, we know what's happening. We see on the news. But the other part too is we also have to remember who's in charge of the news media. There's a slant in everything that we watch. We have to do some research and look much more behind the scenes and find the others who truly show us exactly what is happening in Gaza. The children are suffering, families are suffering, and to watch the pain, I can only imagine being there. It hurts. We have to let our congressional delegation know with our strong voice united. We have to let our president know that we stand behind a decision to demand to work through a ceasefire now. Death can be no more. Thank you. Now I turn it over to my colleague, Senator Pope.
And I won't be too long. I don't think I can match the words of Senator Lopez, but I just want to say on a personal level, I don't know why this is so controversial. It shouldn't be. We're talking about people's lives, many of them children. At this point, there is no military solution to what's happening right now. And so it's went on too long, and we need a ceasefire. Now, I also want to say, us as state legislators, we don't deal with foreign policy. At the same time, you need to know where we stand. And we're also your voice to our federal delegation, and we want to make sure that we're expressing that. And so that's why I'm here. I know that's why others are here as well. But this can no longer go on. And I just want to say, if we get the ceasefire tomorrow, we still have to deal with so much. Think about those families, think about those kids on what they went through. Think about the infrastructure that is gone now and what's happened. Because quite frankly, and it's partly, it's with me, right? Because what we've allowed to happen. And so all I can say is going forward, if anything like this happens again, we just have to continue to have our voice and be able to say, this isn't right. And not let people tell us that we can't talk about it or we can't say anything or we're attacking a certain group of people. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And we should be able to talk about it. We should be able to even talk about it in our legislature. This shouldn't have never been controversial where we couldn't even hear it. And so thank you for being here. I want to thank the members of the SEC that voted for the resolution. I want to thank folks that were calling up in the legislature for what we were trying to do in our memorial. But we still have more to do, as was mentioned. We have to end this conflict. We have to end this war that at this point is only attacking the people of Gaza, the Palestinian people, and it's also putting the risks of the lives of those who are hostages. It is not keeping them safe. It is not releasing them. This does nothing to do that. It puts them in more harm, the actions that have been taken. Thank you.
Thank you for your moral leadership, you and Senator Lopez. We will never forget. We're stood with the righteous and moral stance. I have here with me Representative Patricia Roybal Caballero, who's a staunch fighter of human rights, and she was one of the co-sponsors for our ceasefire resolution. I'll give her the mic.
Thank you very much. Thank you to my sister, Samia. Thank you to the Archbishop for raising the powerful words of our Holy Father during this Holy Week. It's especially important for us to hear those words of solace. It's also, I want to thank my colleagues as well. They and Senator Linda Lopez, my senator, for being always here with us. I come here today to stand in solidarity with the many community groups, coalitions, my community colleagues, and concerned humanitarians to demand our congressional delegation and the Biden administration call for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. I serve as a member of the Democratic Party of New Mexico as a state convention delegate and member of the State Central Committee. And I'm proud that we demonstrated strong unity and passed this resolution by a vote of over 72% calling for this immediate ceasefire. To dispel the Israeli government's rhetoric, this is not a war. It is a genocidal attack aimed at another land theft and the annihilation of the Palestinian people. As a legislator and as a tribal member and indigenous woman, I know too well the processes of settler colonialism and the lengths that it will go to steal lands and erase culture, language, and traditions by utilizing genocide and institutional assimilation strategies to exert power and control. I have an obligation to call out this inhumane genocide, intentionally killing innocent families, women, children, men, medical personnel, all while justifying this genocide by calling it a war. I'm a mother, a grandmother, and my heart aches every hour of every day thinking of the starving children, desperate mothers and fathers trying to keep their children alive, and the many medical personnel forever traumatized by their inability to save the very lives they take an oath to keep alive. I implore all of our national and international decision makers to have the courage to stand up to Netanyahu and place the harshest economic, military, and political sanctions on Israel unless this genocide ends now. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I should also mark Representative Eleanor Chavez, who initiated that, introduced that ceasefire resolution, is not here. The state reps signed a 29-member signature on a letter that supported a ceasefire. So I would like to thank them and give them a heads up, all of them. Today I want to bring up one of my Jewish, a dear friend of ours in the struggle, come on up, Alan Weidman.
You all know the facts of what's happening in Gaza. I won't go over those. I want to say the state of Israel does not speak for me. Zionism does not speak for me. And I can say that on behalf of millions of Jews around the world. The people who say never again means not just to Jews. Do not speak for us. It means not to anybody, ever, anywhere, and especially not by us. In the Torah, we are told repeatedly that we are offered a choice between life and death, between blessing and curse. And we are told to choose life. Unfortunately, too many of our people and a state which claims falsely to represent us has chosen death. Many places in the Torah or in Jewish history, the Holy One has called on an individual and said, "Where are you?" And that individual, if ready to stand up and do what is just and right in our tradition, has answered, "Hineni, here I am." I say today, "Hineni, here I am." And I stand with people who, even if they didn't know the word before, I'm confident will all say, "Hineinu, here we are." Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Sister Joan Brown. I'm a Franciscan sister, and I'm standing here today as a Franciscan sister, a woman, and a human being. And I'm grateful for our democratic leaders who have come forward calling for an immediate ceasefire. I'm also grateful for any Republicans who might be working on this issue and calling for a ceasefire, because this is not a partisan issue. This is not a country issue. This is a humanitarian issue. Are we human beings? As a Franciscan, as I was driving over here, I was thinking of a prayer that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Make me a channel of your peace. Now, here in New Mexico, we know what channels are. We know what acequia ditches are. We know what canales are. We know what irrigation ditches are. And this is the time when the water starts flowing in those ditches, because the water carries life. We, all of us, each of us, are called to be channels, acequias, canales of water, of life for the people in the Middle East and for all of our siblings. This is not one or the other, it is for all. And so during this time of Holy Week in the Christian tradition, the time of Ramadan in the Muslim tradition, we pray especially for peace. In the New Testament scriptures, Jesus says, suffer the little children to come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The little children are coming to us every night, every day, every moment, whether we're waking or sleeping. Their faces are there, the faces of those children and their mothers and their fathers and their siblings in Gaza, and they are starving. And we are denying them food. We send bombs instead of bread. We all are called to be canales, irrigation ditches, acequias, channels. We all must be working for humanity and for peace. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sister Joan. You know, you cannot do any work without your village of activists and my community of fellow SEC Democrats and humanitarians. I would like each one of you to step up. I want to thank them all for their hard work. I could not have done this without the support of each one of them. And we want to talk about help. And my sister in the struggle is Jane Yee. Come on up.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming to this press conference. My name is Jane Yee, and I have been an activist in the Democratic Party of New Mexico for the last 8 years, and it is my honor and privilege to work with the almost 500 members of the State Central Committee, because when we think of it, who is the Democratic Party? It's really those people. And these are the people. We are the people of the Democratic Party. And this resolution is not a bureaucratic game. This resolution that was voted on 527 against 185 at the state pre-primary convention was the outcome of 5 months of debate and discussion within the party that all of us participated in four public forums, public comments, one town hall, online, chat, listserv. There were just all the one-on-one conversations that we had with each other. It was a wrenching conversation because it involved a shift. It involves, I have to use the present tense, it involves a shift in the paradigm and the way we think in this country. In the acknowledgement that what the United States government is standing for is settler colonialism, as yes. Representative Roy Ball Caballero explained, and that there is more in common with those of us in the grassroots of the Democratic Party on the SEC and in the precincts and the wards with the Native American people that also suffer from settler colonialism than with the higher-ups, than with the governor or with the representatives. And this is the kind of conversation that we've been having. And so the resolution is just the first step of that. It is the step that acknowledges the humanitarian issues, that acknowledges that we are all people. And first and foremost, we have to acknowledge that. But beyond that, as a, a group within the Democratic Party. We need to uplift our leaders. We have to lead our leaders to come to these kinds of realizations that we have reached ourselves in the last 5 months of debate in the grassroots of the Democratic Party. We're in the Snowpiercer working class cars of that railroad train, if you saw that movie. And I am so proud to be a part of that Democratic Party that will uplift this party to once again represent working people and people of color. And that's what this is. Thank you.
You are listening to Generation Justice, broadcasting on 89.9 KUNM FM. We have been listening to the recording from a press conference that happened on March 25th, where the State Central Committee, SCC of the New Mexico Democratic Party, Jewish Voice for Peace, and other organizations discussed why they support a ceasefire in Gaza and presented their message to the New Mexico Congressional Delegation and the Biden administration. Let's listen to the second half of this press conference.
We're just going to go to all the SCC members.
Good morning, everyone. Some months ago, some people would say to me, why are you bothering with a ceasefire resolution? It's not going to do anything. My name is Scotty Romberg, an SCC member of the Democratic Party. The State Department official by the name of Josh Paul, a veteran civil servant for more than a decade, helped send weapons to foreign nations while at the Bureau of Political Military Affairs. Paul announced his resignation from the State Department on October 18th, when the death toll in Gaza surpassed 2,000. He described rushing more arms to one side of the conflict as unjust and contrary to the values we publicly espouse. Rumblings within the government have grown louder as the Gaza war nears a half-year mark. Last month, over 800 civil servants within the United States and Europe issued a joint public letter of dissent saying that the concerns about the war in Gaza internally were being ignored. More public figures and private citizens are voicing their dissent in the war between Hamas and the Israeli government and the U.S.'s response to Israel. One voice alone won't make a difference, but there is a new political force of America who are fed up with a cycle of violence and want a reset. That is how policy change happens. It doesn't happen because of one person. It happens because you have a critical mass of people who want change. We are part of that critical mass. Thank you.
Yes.
Hey, hello, my name is Justin Rogers. I'm also an SCC member and a precinct chair in the Democratic Party. I want to just speak on my experience of seeing the ceasefire resolution unfold, where it was put out to the party at the end of October and we had a timeline for when to vote on it. And then without enough explanation, it was delayed indefinitely. So while we were all, people had made comments online, people were ready to vote in December. We were told there was a complaint with the Judicial Council, we had to wait. And then in January, we had to wait as the Executive Committee put out their own statement. And then finally in March, we got to vote on it, but not before about 10 new amendments were introduced that each had the potential to be discussed on the floor of the convention, and each one could take up to 45 to 60 minutes of discussion on each amendment. So I appreciate the other SCC members, such as Samia, Jane, and Nicole Alanovich, who's not here, who helped organize people to say, how can we address these amendments? How can we use the rules of the meeting to advance it to a vote? Because once we advanced it to a vote, nearly 75% of the voters in the SCC approved the resolution as it was written. And so I think this has been our strategy all along, is to let people have their voice, to let people say, I can see with my own eyes what's happening in Gaza, and I can say what needs to be done. The first thing that needs to be done is the killing needs to be stopped. We don't need to argue over every detail of the history that got us here. We need to talk about what's happening next. So we've been just trying to get people to use their voice, and to be able to be heard. Those who've been working against have been using the opposite technique. They've tried to delay, install, and silence people. They silence the movement by shouting anti-Semite at a movement that includes Jewish people and people of all faiths. They delay the vote by the tactics I talked about with the amendments. And they try to drive the discussion away from what we could do right now to relitigating everything that happened on October 7th, everything that happened in the years before with the occupation and with battles back and forth. So we are here to say we need the ceasefire today, and we want the administration and all of our representatives to hear that and to act so that we may support them in November when they've acted the way we wanted and repaired the damage they've done in the way they've acted so far. Thank you.
Amos, good afternoon, but I'm Mitchell Friedman. I'm also on the State Democratic Central Committee. I want to make a statement about the importance of Samia's resolution that passed with 75% of the vote. What makes it unusual, and there is no other state in the country, in the Democratic Party, Republican Party, or anywhere, that includes the statement to not only release the hostages, but the hundreds and hundreds of Palestinians who have been rounded up by the Israeli government. And we need to see that they are hostages. And that's what makes this so powerful. And what we have to do next in our electoral politics is June is coming up. And the state has a law, and the Democrats have it in their bylaws. We can vote non-committed. And we know that the Biden administration has had to change its rhetoric, and they are still trying to figure out whether they can do action. And with more agitation, more rallies, more protests, and in June, we go in as Democrats and we put non-committed. Let's beat Michigan, which had 13% non-committed. Let's beat Minnesota, that had 20% non-committed. This is a state with collective memory of genocide. This is a state with collective memory of apartheid conditions. Let's get it and get it higher. And I want all people, even if you're Republican, even if you are Libertarian or PSL or Green, if you vote non-committed in their lines, they will not report it. But the DNC knows, the media knows, that people who vote non-committed right now are making a statement about this. About this. And so I say to you, as a fellow human being, we have work in the movement politics and we have work in the electoral politics. We are starting to change the dialogue at DC. We are starting to change the dialogue in Santa Fe. We have work to do. We've got 3 months. Let's make that statement. And then when this resolution will be seen again in June, when we see a higher number than in the other states of non-committed. So I thank you again. My name is Mitchell Friedman, and it's been an honor to work with these people, and Samia is a hero of mine.
As you are, sir.
Hello. Thanks for coming out today. I'm Charles Powell. I'm a Democrat. I'm a precinct chair. I'm a member of the Black Caucus, the Labor Caucus, the Veterans Caucus. I was asked to say a few words about my brother, Aaron Bushnell, that sacrificed himself because he was so upset about what our government was doing. He was a active duty military member, and he had access to information more than the average citizen. And that's part of what brought him to what he did, the sacrifice that he made. We should not forget that he felt that strongly about things, and he made that sacrifice.
I hope that we can be successful in bringing enough pressure to bring about a ceasefire. And it'll be partly in his name, Aaron Bushnell.
Thank you, Samia. Thank you, everybody, for your words. So powerful. My name is Celinda Guerrero. I'm an SCC member. I'm a community member. I'm a community organizer. My family's been here since before this territory was colonized. And I'm glad we were able to successfully pass our resolution. Now it is time for our New Mexico Democrats in DC to carry our demands forward. I was heartbroken to hear that all of our New Mexico representatives in Congress and the Senate voted to ban funding to UNRWA. As Al Jazeera appropriately named this, is a moral failure. This, as famine is setting in and children and babies are starving to death, where Palestinians are eating grass, our representatives continue to vote against our demands and to aid the Palestinian people. I want to offer these words from the Movement for Black Lives. As Israel continues to massacre Palestinians with the full support and funding of the US government, this is a crucial time to take collective action in support of Palestinian liberation. Black people have always been a moral compass. We always have. Not only fighting for our own liberation, but for the liberation of oppressed peoples worldwide. At this moment, as our taxpayer dollars are being used to commit genocide in Gaza, we have a duty to fight and demand no more. I am hopeful that this resolution sounds the alarms to our representatives in DC that they must realign themselves with this constituency. The U.S. complicity in the act of genocide against the Palestinian people must be stopped, and there will be no votes in November. I want to lift his name forever, Aaron Bushnell. If Aaron's important act of self-immolation did not shake the consciousness awake of every political representative, then we would be a hopeless society. And I do not want to believe that we are hopeless. I want to believe that we are a mighty people who are completely capable of holding accountable our political delegation. I hope this message comes through loud and clear to anyone who holds political power, that we demand a stop to all U.S. weapons to Israel. We demand a permanent ceasefire. We demand a reinstatement of all aid to Palestinian people in accordance with international law. This is a man-made humanitarian crisis, and we have the power to address it. We must find our moral compass and act to stop this genocide now, today. We as the moral people of this democracy have the power to stop the suffering and to lead with diplomacy. It is who we say we are, and now we must act on those sentiments. Democrats can lead with diplomacy and humanity. We all must stand in that courage, for it is each of us who creates the necessary accountability to bring this resolution to power. We are the Esekias. This resolution is more than just words. It is the intention to do the right thing. Now each of us who represent the Democratic Party must use our power to do the right thing. Make this resolution a reality and stop the suffering now. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Janet Harmon. I'm actually a precinct chair in the Democratic Party. And I would just like to dedicate this resolution and everybody's hard work to all the people who were killed between October 31st and today when this resolution was passed. Samuel worked real hard to get it up October 30th. Every moment that goes on, innocent people, resistance fighters who have the right to resist this occupation, are being killed, children, elderly. And so every moment that goes on that we delay, the crisis gets worse and worse to who knows if there's coming back. They will come back because the Palestinian people are strong. But this has to stop now. And I would just like to say to the leadership of the Democratic Party that is supposedly representing all of us, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. One vote, one voice. Quit just lining your pockets. You say you're Democratic? This is what we want. And this is your opportunity. Take it, please. Thank you. Thank you for being out here, press.
Thank you. Well, you've heard the voices of the Democratic Party. I have one more voice I'd like to bring in. We cannot talk about peace and justice without having a representative of the peace and justice community. Bob Anderson, come on up.
Thank you, Samia. Samia is my hero, I tell you, for getting this organized thing together. I'm Bob Anderson. I'm a retired political science professor. I'm also with the Albuquerque Center for Peace and Justice, Vets for Peace, and a whole lot of other organizations. And I just want to say, do you feel the earthquake that's shaking underneath us right now? There is a revolution taking place. There's an earthquake taking place. People like me will not vote for a Zionist or a Zionist. Joe Biden calls himself a Zionist. You know, and they should got to get this message that at the grassroots of the country, people are not going to go for this genocide. All the world is watching what the United States does, and it's not moving towards peace. It's not moving towards a solution. And it's because our political leaders are not listening to the grassroots of the party, like what the folks here represent and what they have done. And these buildings over here, we've got the mayor and city council and people, and they're silent. They're not speaking out to this, and everybody is listening for them. The question is, why are they not doing it? And it's because I'm with a group called Stop the War Machine. We think that the military-industrial complex makes a lot of money off of these wars and killing of people. And that comes back to this town here and this whole state. It's a huge war profiteering industry that's making money off of killing people in Gaza. And now what has happened is that in large parts of the world, not just Gaza, but there's a revolt taking place on a worldwide scale against what the United States is doing, trying to re-implement colonialism like that took place here in the Southwest on the world scale. And people are not going for it. And there's a revolt taking place. The political leadership has to get with that, or it's going to take us all down, and they're going to go down with it. So there's a lot more to be done, as a lot of the people, the speakers here have said very eloquently, and it's up to us. And this is a small step here locally, but it's big, and it's important, and it's in tune with the resistance movements of the people of the world that are turning the change and turning the tide to a new kind of world and a direction for us. And so I want to thank everybody who's been here and working on this, and it's a real success. And thank you very much.
Well, you've heard from all of us here today, faith community, our political leadership, at the base of the Democratic Party, community organizers. This is a message, loud and clear message to the delegation. We will hold you accountable to the mandate that was just passed at the state Democratic Party. We're not gonna tolerate you turning a blind eye to our voices and our demands. We will hold you responsible. And in hand, you must pass the message, our voices, to the president. We need him to act swiftly on a ceasefire. We don't want mediocre policy. We don't want weak policy. This is the United States of America, the most powerful country in the world, the biggest empire. You can stop a ceasefire if you wanted to. You can stop a ceasefire if you wanted to, just like you shouldn't have chosen to vote to further starve 1 million children in Gaza. That's what your vote did. And you're gonna have to answer to us. All of you will come this November. So we are warning all our Democrats, Democratic representatives and delegates, our federal delegates, to rise up to their responsibility and heed our warning. We're the canary in the mine telling you, if you do not shape up and represent the voices of Americans, the majority of Americans, you will lose this election. And it is on you. Here we are as a collective of Democrats telling you it is your responsibility to rise up and represent the people and stand what is the most moral
and conscientious stance you can take. The world is watching. Please stand up for humanity and stop this ethnic cleansing, this genocide, and this forced starvation. I can't take seeing any more children dying live stream. They're dying live stream. Every second we turn around on our phones and we see it. Our kids are turned off by politics. They don't believe in this country anymore. You need to bring faith back to America to say, yes, we will stand for what is right. You've already wasted 5 months. So many have been killed. It's about time you stand up and do what's right. Thank you. Thank you all for coming out.
I want to thank human rights activist Sami Assad for her leadership in this ceasefire resolution, all the members of the State Central Committee of the New Mexico Democratic Party, and all of the community members who took part in this important effort. And a very special thanks to John Acosta for the recording of this press conference. Now we bring you the song Ceasefire by Naomi. This song was shared by journalist Motaz Azaiza on Instagram, under a photo of his most recent visit to the United States White House.
Cause there's a war going on outside, and it doesn't matter who's wrong or right, as long as innocent children die. Stop the genocide. Lay your weapons down, ceasefire, ceasefire. Justify all the blood you shed over land and religion. Is this really what God said?
Welcome to this week's Vaccine Equity New Mexico. This segment aims to provide our listeners with updated information about COVID-19, other illnesses that affect our community, testing, vaccinations, and more. Tonight, we discuss the current levels of COVID-19 in New Mexico and a new FDA-authorized drug to boost COVID protection for immunocompromised patients. According to the CDC, respiratory virus levels remain high in New Mexico, including COVID-19, flu, and RSV. It is essential to continue mitigating practices, including wearing a KN95 mask, washing your hands very frequently, and vaccinating. Vaccination is one of the best ways to avoid hospitalization and death. To schedule an appointment, you can visit vaccinenm.org. Again, vaccinenm.org. The FDA announced a new antibody drug that will be available to boost COVID-19 protection for immunocompromised people. The drug is called PEMGARDA, and it aims to help boost immune defenses in patients 12 years and older who have a medical condition or are receiving immunosuppressive medications that may weaken vaccine efficacy. That's all for our Vaccine Equity segment tonight. If you need to schedule an appointment, remember that you can go to vaccinenm.org. And if you're sick, stay home and protect others. We hope you've enjoyed this hour of information. Tonight's hour of radio was produced by Roberta Rael and myself, Barbara Ramirez, with production assistance from Roman Garcia, and thank you to John Acosta for tonight's press conference recording. Our opening song is Youth of the Nation by POD. Our last song of the night, Olive Branch, by Palestinian-Chilean artist Eliana. I'm Barbara Ramirez. Coming up on KUNM is Spoken Word, so stay tuned and join us next Sunday at 7 o'clock. Buenas noches.